Keep on loving Jesus. Keep on thanking Jesus. As you read the Bible, I just want to pray. To begin with, I want to pray over the gifts that you give, the financial, the smiles, the words, the things that you do outside of here and inside of here. Those things were very, very important to God. Starting to read the Bible at the beginning again, and it lightened up to me about the fact that when Cain and Abel brought their gifts, in the New Living Translation, it talks about that Cain just brought some of his grain. In the wording, it's like he brought some of his grain. It's like, you know, God should be happy with whatever he brought. But when it spoke of Abel, it said Abel brought the very best of his flock. Abel did some searching and some researching and looking over his flock. You know, it would be like somebody deciding that they're going to go into their place where they have fed their cattle with the finest of the grain, and they were fattening them up to be the perfect one for the family, and had their eye on the one that they could almost taste. How many of you remember back when the folks were here that used to butcher their cattle and name them and would come to potluck and say, this is Fred, or whatever the case might be, you know? That was so funny. You know, because some people actually weren't that interested in eating Fred, you know. Beef wrapped in a package, fine, but don't tell us its name, you know. But I mean, you get the impression that, you know, the one that Abel brought was the one that he had in mind for himself and for his family. It was important and it was precious, and he brought it to God. And so, Lord, I pray for this family, Lord, just as we pray, as we send out to the missionaries, we pray, Lord, that it will accomplish your will. I pray, Lord, that I know that your will in our giving is that we might receive. Because you told us that in the sowing that we could reap accordingly. And so we just pray that, Lord. I pray that over this year. And I just pray that over each family, each individual, the youngest to the oldest. We just praise you, Lord, and we thank you that your hand is upon us as we give and that your hand is upon us as we receive. And so we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Why not life? Have you ever wondered why they never ate from the tree of life? It was there. And God never said they couldn't eat from the tree of life. What was it about the tree of life that just didn't attract them, just didn't appeal to them? Apparently, according to how the Bible is written, there were two trees in the center, and so maybe they grew right next to each other. Why not life? Why not life? You know, as they say, people don't think too much about life when they're young. You know, I never once. Now, Vicky grew up in Montana, and it used to trouble her when they had earthquake drills. You know, I grew up with bomb shelters and air raid drills, and never thought too much about it, except for we went all together someplace and went to a drill. You know, I don't remember ever having a fear of somebody bombing us. I never was concerned about life. I had life. And that's how we are a lot of times. We have life. You know, we're content with life. I didn't catch for sure. I got the impression, I think your response to John was that you really don't like heights, or you do like heights? Oh, you like them? Okay, well, see, I always had great respect for them, but after a while I got so used to them I didn't have any fear of them. Until one day I was hanging on an elevator and walking on a boat line and thought to myself, what am I doing hanging here this far above the ground? For a moment I thought about my life. That's the only thing I thought about it. I didn't think about what I was doing to my life. I didn't think anything like that, you know. But I mean, you know, it was like, for me, it was my job. It was okay. Although it was really strange that that was the case, because when I was in college and worked on grain elevators to build them, I used to have nightmares about ending up in that little tube at the bottom of the chute, falling down through there. And I used to dream about practicing how I would land if I fell. Practicing landing right, you know. From 80 feet, I don't think you land right. But I thought about it. Maybe if I had really thought about it, I'd have come up with some sort of an aerodynamic, ingenious thing of how to increase lift just before you land. Yeah. But, you know, we don't think a lot about life, and then when life does kind of catch up with us, the problem is that we think about what's caught up with us rather than thinking about life. Like Tara said, you know, we can always praise the Lord no matter what. We can praise the Lord. Or Susan said, the right thing to do is run to our strong tower. And when you run, it's wise to run straight at what you're running at, not run looking over your shoulder. I watch football players and they break away, and rather than keeping run at the end zone, sometimes they turn around to look, and that turn around to look can cost them a fraction of a second and they get caught. Just keep running. You cross the end zone, then look. But sometimes what we do is, the right thing to do is run to our strong tower. It's not a backpedal to the strong tower and keep looking at what's coming at us. It's looking to life. Because what's coming at us is the thing that's been bothering us anyway. And just one more look at that doesn't help. Because we can have the thought planted by the Holy Spirit to run to our righteous God, and one more look at what's coming at us can disrupt that, and all of a sudden all we're doing is looking at that, you know. What is it that they call can't think of it. You know, like what they say would happen to somebody, a bear is coming at them and they can't pull the trigger. I can't think of the word. But anyway, it's one of those things where people have just ejected shells rather than pulling the trigger, you know, just so scared. And, you know, and that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to get so scared. He wants to get such a focus on what's wrong, because when you focus on what's wrong, you try to figure out how to fix it. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'll just worry about this a little longer. Why not life? Why not life? You know, we can look at Adam and Eve and we can say, why in the world did they choose that tree? But then we've got to look at our own lives, because see, that's how we look at the Bible. How does it apply to our own lives? And then we have to begin to consider, okay, how many times would it have been better had I just chosen the tree of life rather than focused on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because the tree of life is just that, life. God is only good. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we see both sides of the story. Understand what I'm saying? Folks, as a Christian and a follower of Christ, we don't have to see both sides of the story. We need to see His side of the story. You see, that's what political correctness is, seeing both sides of the story. And then if you're really correct, you lean to the wrong side of the story. Because we want to be convinced, the enemy wants to convince us that God is narrow-minded and He's dogmatic and that His life is not real life. That if we want real life, we have to be compromising, We have to be all of those things, you know, so that we can fit in. Real life is not fitting in. We know this, don't we? We should not fit in. We just shouldn't. Even though everything says, well, you know, you kind of have to give a little. Why? Why would you want to give a little? What is it? There was an article, and I could probably bring it up on my phone, but anyway, a person had said, I can't remember, there were a certain number of reasons why they didn't drink. And one of the responses to that is always, well, things in moderation. And this person said, well, what about a little adultery? Anybody here for a little adultery? No. Absolutely not. But society says it's not that big of a deal. Moderation. Well, I think I'll moderate according to God's revolutions and revelations. You know, why not life? Now, one of the problems that arises when people keep rejecting life is that there's a hardness that settles in, so that finally, maybe when things are far enough down the road, that the suggestion of life comes up, and then comes the excuses, well, it's too late. John and I went to pray for a guy one time. He said, I got along with Jesus this long, I'll get along without him now.
Finish the story, Roger.
Huh?
Finish the story.
Yeah, we started to pray for him, and he began to thrash, and he said, my feet are on fire, my feet are on fire. And we said, man, bless you. You've been blessed. God has just given you a revelation of that. I don't want him. My dad went back to the same guy, a friend of his, and said, oh, come on, you need Jesus. He said, nope, live this long without him, I'll make it without him. What a heartbreak. The only thing you can hope is that before he died, he said, yeah, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea. Because you see, it never is too late. It never is. It's not, you know, somebody asked me, they ask me in jail sometimes, well, you know, can I go too far? I say, not as long as you're breathing. As long as you're breathing, you can ask and you can receive, because God is abundantly above and beyond anything you can hope or imagine, anything you could ever do. But why wait until you're about not breathing? Why not life? Why not life now? And this isn't just for people who don't know the Lord. This is for us that know the Lord. Why not life always? First place, life. Well, I just want to take one more look at this tree. I think I can do this on my own. Or, I don't want life just yet. I think I'll just remain angry and bitter for a while. I'll get rid of it before it's too late. But for now, I'm not giving that one up. I'll never forgive them. Well, the longer you hold on to something, the more dear it becomes to you. Yeah, I got junk in my garage that I hold on to. And even I think it's junk, but it's dear to me. I need to be delivered like my wife. Nothing's dear to her except maybe me and Jesus. You know? I mean, how can anybody look forward to getting rid of stuff? I just can't bring myself to do that. But she can. She's amazing. She should be preaching. I don't hold on to things that aren't good for me. Now, don't tell me about my garage or my office. Okay? There's probably something in there. I found things in there that were good, and it was a good thing I didn't just start throwing. A good thing. I rebuke that in Jesus' name.
I did not tell her to
She's probably been wanting to say it for years, and I finally gave her the opening. Okay, maybe that's true.
Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Yes. This is true. Yeah. Okay, who's preaching here? Lord, take control. But you know, I mean, the thing is that we tend to harbor things that, oh Lord, I'm going to say this, really aren't really good for us. In our spiritual lives, we rather than just taking life, rather than just taking it, you know, just take it. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life," and just say, "I'll take it." Why shouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? Why don't we do that? Why are we so prone to that other tree? When the tree of life is always right there. And maybe we have the victory in some areas where we always go right straight to the tree of life, and we just can't see why other people just seem to be hanging around that other tree. But the truth is, we've all got places where we just hang around that other tree. It's always fun to be a visitor at our church, Mike, because I just get these wonderful thoughts, you know. Like I asked Mike, I said, what's your church background? He said he was raised a Baptist. This is living dangerously, maybe. But he just took a walk right into Hosanna. And it depends on who you might say you went to church somewhere, and they say, "Where'd you go?" And you might say, "Well, I stopped at Hosanna Church," and some of you did what? You know, Jeff, what are you doing still going to that place? Don't let it rub off on you. It's already got you. Don't worry about it. You sleep with it. Hallelujah. But you know, why is it so hard for us to just go to life? Because life will remove the past. Life will have us just focusing on the future and upon the hope that lies before us. Life is liberating. A firm grasp on life removes fear of death. Amen. Amen. So why not life? Why? You know, we all have had that thought of, why did God give us a free will? Why does he give us a choice? Why can't he just lock our minds in once we finally take life? Because he wants us to choose life. And choose life. And choose life. And choose life. And choose life and experience the many wonderful benefits of life. It's good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And don't be distracted, but rather cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Be fully comprehending that the Lord waits on us. Blessed are they who they wait upon the Lord. He will renew their strength. But he's waiting on us. That's how he knows when we wait on him. It's not like when we turn our eyes on him that he's cast to come from distraction and say, "I'll be there in a moment." He comes quickly. He does come quickly. And then the right thing to do is run. Run, 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 run to him. Tell him he's the one. But then the song says, it's easier. Easier said than done. No, it's not. That's a song. It says the wrong thing. It's not easier said than done. It's something that we've got to get done. And as we do that, I received a message from my friend Norma this morning, and she said, 2016, the Lord's ear is open to you. I said, I receive that. I receive that. Since his ear is open, maybe we ought to speak to him. Maybe we ought to make declarations. You know, I have my reminder in my phone, and it tells me every day. I open up my reminder, I look at my reminder, and I tell myself, this will be a good day. Today, God rules in my life. So it'll be okay. God will guide me in all my ways. Pay attention, Roger. God will protect and direct me. Yes. God will be my shield and enlighten me. This will be a great day. This will be a great day. This is the today. Today, if we hear his voice, we harden not our heart. Tomorrow, we'll have a fresh word. Always. Always life is there. Always. You know, there's no longer, there's nothing. Jesus removed the guards that kept them from getting in and having the tree of life and living forever in their lost state. Now the tree's available again. Amen. Isn't that good news? The tree is available to special people. Yeah, everybody is special to God. To perfect people? No, it's open to imperfect people, or we couldn't get to it. But it's always there. Life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. So there's always life. Always go to the life. Look to the light. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world, and he's always, always there. The verse in Jeremiah that we all know, I know the plans that I have for you, they're for good and not for evil. The next verse says, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Seeking him with all of our heart is running to him. Making the declaration, I want life, and I'll have life. And I'll quit looking at death. And I'll quit letting death distract me. I'm having life. Right now. Forevermore. Life. So that no matter what comes up, just remind yourself and say, life. What's up? What is it about life? Oh yeah, I'm going for the life. I'm going for the life. I'm not going to survey the death that is coming at me. I'm not going to survey the confusion that's coming at me. I don't have to take one more look at what's coming at me. I'm going to turn my back on it. Run. The righteous will run to him and be safe. And as Susan said, we'll go back out. But when we go back out, we go back out. We don't go back out wondering if it's going to work out. We go back out after a workout with the Lord, and we're ready to win. Ready to take it on and rejoice, for the Lord is on our side. Why not life? Remember that. Ask yourself that. Why sit I here in this darkness when life and light are right there? Why do I fear when life and light are right there? Why not life? Let's make this year a year of greater life, greater expectancy, greater assurance, greater confidence, greater wisdom, the wisdom that is from God. Recognizing that there's just one tree that we prefer. There's just one feast that we like best. Because we know that God is for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? And when that is deeply in our hearts, then that's what oozes out of our pores. And it's transforming to other people's lives. Because more and more and more in our world, the world is saying compromise is the answer. like there's something wrong with having morals or values or anything like that. There's something wrong if you stand for something. And if we don't choose life, then we'll condemn ourselves by the things that we approve because we just don't want to offend anyone. The gospel's an offense to people that are perishing. It was more than likely an offense to you at some time in your life. I mean, probably the most offense it ever presented to me was when I read just a short part of How to Know You're Born Again book, and I said to Vicki, if this thing's true, we're in trouble. It didn't trouble me too much right away, but apparently it troubled me a lot because later it worked. So have life, be life, enjoy life. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we choose life. You said, I set before you the way of life and death. Choose life. You gave us the key. Just choose life. No matter what's going on in your life, choose life. No matter what's coming at you, just choose life. Perfect love casts out all fear. Love for God chooses life. So we thank you, Lord, that we have understanding of this and that we can make this choice, and we declare to you that that is exactly what we will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.